So here we are, the second Sunday in Advent, and it's lovely to have your company this morning as we worship God together from all over the place. How amazing that is. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Reveal among us the light of your presence, that we may behold your power and glory. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Amen. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. And our act of penitence this morning begins by hearing the words, "Come, let us return to the Lord," and say, Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us. Deliver us from judgment, bind up our wounds, and revive us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we say the canticle together this morning. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And we now go to the first reading, which is taken from Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath on his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my mountain, holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Song of the Wilderness, verses taken from Isaiah chapter 35. And we say together, lift up your voice with strength, O herald of good tidings. The wilderness and the dry land shall rejoice. The desert shall blossom and burst into song. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weary hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to the anxious, be strong, fear not. Your God is coming with judgment to save you. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame leap like a hart and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The ransomed of the Lord shall return with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Joy and gladness shall be theirs, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Lift up your voice with strength, O herald of good tidings.
And now we come to the second reading, and the second reading is taken from Matthew 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole of the region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I suspect we are all guilty of thinking in stereotypes. In my mind, a policeman is someone who stands in his full Bobby's uniform, truncheon at hand, pencil, notepad and whistle close by, bending his knees and saying, "Evening all," and it's always foggy. And he is an image from Dixon of Doc Green, a formative television programme of my childhood. A milkman wears a white coat and a striped apron and cap, and acts and behaves surprisingly like Benny Hill. A teacher is always wearing academic robes with a cane tucked under his arm, a severe expression on his face, and a voice that says, "Grr!" Yes, he's straight out of the Beano. And a vicar, well, they are the worst stereotypes of all. Generally smiling stupidly, drinking tea and eating sandwiches, innocently saying things that are full of innuendo, quite often near the mark, and being very, very ineffectual. And despite being a lover of Dawn French, my stereotypes were formed from All Gas and Gaiters and too many Carry On films. Stereotypes are difficult to get rid of. And even though I know that policemen don't behave like good old Jack Warner, and there aren't any milkmen anymore, well, not round here, and that teachers and vicars aren't like that, after all, they can be women, the stereotype still sticks, even though I have been both a teacher and a vicar. Of course, the danger of stereotypes, which are so often the fodder of cartoons and comedy, is that they are difficult to shift and often reinforce our prejudices and biases. So what is our stereotypical image of a prophet? A wild man who behaves erratically, who has no sense of etiquette, manners, or personal hygiene, and who shouts a lot. Well, if that's your idea of a prophet, you're in good company. Meet John the Baptist. If on the second Sunday of Advent you were looking for a warm and cosy lead up to Christmas, this is going to disappoint. There's nothing very warm and cosy about John. "Wake up," he shouts, "repent. You are nothing but a brood of vipers." Matthew tells us that John appears and cries out in the wilderness. In a quotation from the prophet Isaiah, Matthew says, "The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, 'He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" Matthew makes a point of telling us that John's work, his crying out, his preaching and his activity all take place against the backdrop of the wilderness. Now, this alone would have been a shock to the people he was talking to. In John's day, spiritually important things occurred in the temple, the magnificent white stone structure which dominated Jerusalem. The temple was the core of religious life. If you wanted to get close to God, if you wanted to be part of the in crowd, if you wanted to be part of the spiritual elite, you went to the temple. You certainly did not go to the wilderness. That would be the last place you would want to be. But the wilderness is a vital part of this story. The wilderness is a place of risk and vulnerability. It is a place where one is broken and powerless. It is a place where there is nothing we can do but learn to trust God. And in the history of God's people, it was the place where their relationship with God unfolded. They learnt to rely on God for everything. They were taught by God, disciplined by God, and formed into a nation who, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, was ready to enter the promised land. So it was not surprising that after years of silence, the word of God came in a real and vital way to John in the wilderness. I have had a few wilderness experiences in my own life. And no doubt you have too. I don't like them. I don't choose them. But when they come, I have learned that they are deeply challenging and transformative times. When I'm in the wilderness, I realize how much I need God, how much I need to rely on Him and lean into Him. In the wilderness, nothing much really matters, only God. There's something about the wilderness which brings me to my knees. It's surprising that the people came to John in the wilderness, and it's equally surprising that they weren't put off by his message of repentance. For us in the 21st century, sin and repentance are difficult words for us to hear. If only we could come up with some other words which didn't sound so harsh and extreme. And I know that so many people have been hurt and damaged by a manipulative agenda of shame, condemnation, and guilt. And yet, on this second Sunday in Advent, we are invited to look at John the Baptist and his story. And his story is all about sin and repentance. Why do I feel that even talking about sin and repentance is like a great big weight grinding us down, best to be forgotten? The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, all. We may or may not have committed a terrible sin. We may or may not have committed loads of little indiscretions, but we have all fallen short of the glory of God. When I fail to love my neighbour as myself, I fall short of the glory of God. When I fail to love God with all my heart, I fall short of the glory of God. But the amazing thing is that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession leads to freedom. We are no longer weighed down by the burden of sin. Confession leads to joy. It leads to liberation, creativity, abundance, and human flourishing. We confess our sins privately and we confess them together. We just have. And I have often wondered why we don't cheer and dance when we hear God's words of absolution and forgiveness over us. This is good news. It's the best news of all. John knows that he is not the Messiah. He is constantly pointing to the one who will come after him, who is greater than him. John describes the Messiah in this way. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. So often this is thought of as a picture of judgment and condemnation, and not at all like the good news of forgiveness. To judge something, I read in my dictionary, is to see clearly, to have clarity, to have discernment and perception. Maybe John is saying that the Messiah who is coming really sees me. He really sees each one of us. He really sees to the heart of us, to the core of us. There are times when my computer slows right down and is hardly able to perform the simplest task. It's all bunged up with programs and downloads and things I don't understand. And I have to use something called CCleaner. CCleaner zips through my whole computer and cleans it up. It removes things that are just there, cluttering up the whole system, rendering it slow and useless. And once CCleaner has done its magic, the computer has a completely new life. It's much quicker. It performs much better. And maybe the Messiah's winnowing fork is a bit like my CCleaner. The Messiah has the ability to clean me up, to separate all that is destructive and cloying, and bring to the fore all that is good and beautiful and worthy. And he does it because he loves me, and he will only do it if I let him. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness with the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And surprisingly, the people streamed to him. May we stream there too. And may we know the love, joy, and freedom God's love and his forgiveness brings. Amen.
We now turn to our intercessions. In joyful expectation of his coming to our aid, let us pray to Jesus, our Lord, whoever lives to make intercessions for us. Lord of the church, come into your church as Lord and Judge, empower by your Spirit all Christian people and the work of your church in every land. Especially we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters across the world. Help us to live in the light of your coming and give us a longing for your kingdom. Give us grace to proclaim and live out the gospel, joyful in word and deed. Maranatha.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Saviour of the world, come to your world as King of the nations. Be present in all places of suffering, violence, and pain, and bring hope even in the darkest night. We pray for nations entrapped in conflict and violence, for refugees and all who are in danger. Inspire us to continue your work of reconciliation today. Maranatha.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Great physician, come to the suffering as saviour and comforter. Stretch out your hand to bring healing, wholeness, and peace to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Especially we pray for Jax, Jen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Pippa, Joe, Jackie, Mary, Helen, John, Henrietta, Tony, Donald, Diana, and Mary. Fill us with compassion that we may be channels of healing love. Maranatha.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Shepherd and guardian of our souls, guide and enable all who lead and serve this nation and our local communities and those we depend on for our daily needs. Grant that we may seek the peace and welfare of this place. Maranatha.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Conqueror of death, remember for good those whom we love but see no longer. And especially we remember Patricia Knapp. Comfort those who mourn and help us all to live this day in sure and certain hope of your eternal victory. Maranatha.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus, with power and great glory. Do not delay. Give new courage to your people who trust in your love. by your coming, raise us to share in the joy of your kingdom on earth as in heaven, where you live and reign with the Father and the Spirit, one God, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
And the collect for the day. O Lord, raise up, we pray, your power and coming among us, and with great might succour us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are grievously hindered in running the race that is set before us, your bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory, now and forever. Amen. And we say the words of the Lord's Prayer together in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May God, the Father, who loved the world so much, he sent his only Son to come among us in great humility. Open your eyes to look for his coming again. Amen. May God, the Son, give you grace to live in the light of his coming as Redeemer and Judge. Amen. May God the Spirit free you from sin, make you holy, and bring you to eternal life. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, everyone. So lovely to have your company to start the day off this morning. I was just struck when reading that service how powerful those Old Testament readings are, how beautiful they are. I think I'm going to try and learn some of them this week.
And very relevant for today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Don't test me, though, will you? Yeah. Just to put in your diary, if you want to come to a Christmas lunch, at Withley, you're all very welcome. We can arrange transport. That's on the 12th of December. No, it's, yes, that's right, 12th of December between 12:30 and 2:00. Everybody is very welcome. Bring a friend. They don't have to go to church. They don't even have to know who I am. Just bring them and they're very welcome. And there's a coffee morning on the 14th of December at the golf club starting at 10. Arrive anytime after 10, and you're all very welcome to that. And if anybody needs transport, please let us know. We know how difficult it is for some people to get to these things, and we're trying to arrange transport for you. So God bless you. May you know that the dawn from on high has broken upon you this morning and given you peace. And I'm off to Rackenford. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm off to St. Peter's.
Bye.
Bye-bye,
everyone. Thank you so much. Take care. Have a good week.
Yeah, thank you. And you, Liz.